Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to all our listeners. This is, as usual, America's Great Loop Cruisers Association weekly blog radio show. With us today is Steve Cromer, and I'm Janice Cromer, the director. I'd like to thank and acknowledge our Admiral sponsors, Curtis Stokes & Associates, Dog River Marina, Regatta Point Yachting Center, Waterway Guides, Dozier's Waterway Guides and Magazine, and Skipper Bob Publication. For those non-members listening out there, the Great Loop is the continuous waterway that encompasses the eastern portion of North America, which is the Atlantic and Gulf Intracoastal Waterways, the Great Lakes, the Canadian Heritage Canals, and the inland rivers of America's heartland. AGLCA, as we call ourselves, is an organization of people who share that sense of adventure and a curiosity about America's Great Loop. Our primary purpose is to disseminate information and enhance the overall experience for those learning about, dreaming of, as well as exploring and safely cruising America's Great Loop. Our website is www.greatloop.org. Please visit, and if you're not already a member, please join. Our guest host this week is member Michael Delario. Michael is currently on the loop in his Gemini 105MC sailing catamaran. Michael will tell us about the benefits of doing the loop in such a vessel. If anyone has any questions or comments during our presentation, you can call toll-free to 877-497-1815. Michael, before we get started, do you prefer Mike or Michael?
I work on both. I'm pretty easy. Whatever works for you.
Okay, well, thank you, and thank you very much for being on our show this morning.
You're welcome.
Why don't you start with telling us the size of your cat?
Okay. We have a relatively small cat when you think about it. It's only 34 foot long. The beam is about 14 foot. There's a lot more room based on the fact that the beam itself is carried all the way from the bow back. So a lot of people like to consider a 34-foot catamaran about the same living space as a 40-foot monohull sailboat.
Well, 34-foot is a pretty decent size. I'm surprised the beam is 14 on a cat. I always thought they were much bigger than that.
You can't go much smaller than 14 on this length catamaran, otherwise the dynamics go out. Now, most of the beams that you do see, the 23, 24-footers, the ones that maybe get through the loop, aren't here. They're out there in the ocean. They're down on the Virgin Islands. Theirs are really designed for four people or three couples, four couples. Most of these smaller cats, these are like cruise couples cats, these things can get down to 14 and 16-foot beams. So it's relatively good. It's a small market, even though there's like 1,100 of these boats out there.
Uh-huh.
They just fit a niche, but it's not really the Virgin Islands where you see them. They end up being down along Bahamas, the Gulf Coast, where it's real shallow water. Couples have them. They're pretty inexpensive to get into, actually.
I think the most important, well, one of the most important benefits of a cat is its draft.
Absolutely. Ours, we're lucky. Most cats have about a 3-foot draft. Ours is different because they use centerboards, and these centerboards can pull up. Well, we basically don't use the centerboards unless we're sailing upwind or maybe docking. But with the centerboards down, it's 5'6". We motor with the centerboards up just to keep the resistance down. So we motor in basically 20 inches of water without hitting bottom.
That's pretty fantastic. So you can basically go absolutely anywhere on the loop.
Pretty much. We have not seen any place we couldn't go. We've really enjoyed that from a convenience standpoint, to be able to crawl into places that others can't.
Sure. I'm just curious about the 105MC. Give me an idea of what the inside is. The galley, is it pretty efficient?
Yeah, pretty much so. You got to think of these little boats as three-bedroom, one-bath boat with a great room and a back porch where you drive and have cocktails. The master cabin is up front. It's a queen-size bed, and you've got this big panoramic window so that you can fall asleep watching stars, or if you hear things
beautiful.
That go bump in the night. Yeah, it's nice. When I hear things that go bump in the night, I just sit up and look out. Makes me a lot easier than having to jump out in my skivvies and run around the boat. So from that standpoint, it's pretty good. The main salon is a lot like a great room. They're set up differently than you're used to. It's got a six-person U-shaped settee in the middle that, you know, obviously folds down to a big old bed if you want.
Sure.
On the starboard side is the galley, and that runs the entire length of the main salon. It's about a step down. And on the other side is like a big workbench or your chart table, and that's about a step down. It kind of works out that my wife gets one side of the boat, I get the other, just based on that. And then the neutral ground is in the middle. In the back of the boat, they use these two aft cabins. They use double beds in them. In my opinion, they're more like walk-in closets rather than big, roomy aft cabins.
You've got three staterooms?
Yeah, three staterooms.
Fantastic.
They're different. You know, the one stateroom, my wife is obviously commandeered as a walk-in pantry because it's right next to the galley. The other one is the proverbial junk room. They only have one head on these boats. Those things use, like, the Lexan door to separate the shower from the rest of it. There's two other places on the boat where you really have kind of living space. One is the aft cabin, the cockpit in the back. And that's, it's like an open-air card cover on it so that you can sit out there without getting toasted from the sun. When it's cold, you put the isinglass up, and it just makes another big open area to drive from, or when it's buggy, we screen it in. And it's a good place for cocktails. There are about 6-8 people comfortably sit out there. But one other place you got to sit during cocktails is something that's unusual about cats of this type. It's the balcony seat, as we call it. And what it is there's a hammock suspended from the dinghy that's off the back of the boat, so it's over the water. It's a perfect little love seat for two people to sit outside and have a drink, or when you're driving down the canals or something, just watch everything go by. Go ahead.
It extends over the water?
Yeah, it does.
Oh, my goodness. Are you comfortable?
Yeah, very comfortable.
I would be a little bit intimidated.
Well, I might be a little more concerned if I was 450 pounds or something, but, you know, two people, it's no problem. They're pretty rugged back there.
Uh-huh.
So.
Well, it sounds like it's efficient and roomy. Steve and I were on a cat. I guess twice we visited Loopers on cats, and I couldn't believe the amount of room. It was just unbelievable.
Yeah, they really are nice.
Tell me about your speed. What can you get up to if you need to?
Okay, the speed is really the Achilles heel on this. While you're sailing, it's not a problem, or power sailing, you know, you can pull 8 knots easily. But when you're just motoring along, it's only 6.5 knots, so figure 7.5 miles an hour, maybe 8 if you really, really, really go wide open throttle. And so that's really the slow part. Now, I guess that also kind of ties into we only use 27 horse diesels with a little outdrive on it. This is really where it helps because this kind of plays into the fuel economy. At 6.5 knots, we'll use 0.5, maybe 0.75 gallons an hour. I think we figure that our whole 6,000-mile trip, this whole little adventure, will probably cost us just a little over $3,000 in fuel.
Boy, that's a huge difference from some of our faster boats.
Yeah, it is, but you do give up the speed for it. Now,
a couple knots slower.
It's only been an issue for us once or twice that we've really had a problem. A couple times we would have liked to make a little bit longer days, and one time going up the Ohio River, we ran into a time when we were opening the locks, and we went down to 3 knots, which is it was mind-boggling. It felt like it was taking us forever to get anywhere. But other than that, it's been great.
Our trawler, we basically make 7.5, 8. We have, when wind and current are with us, we've been up to like 10, but we feel like we're speeding along at that point.
Yeah, we do too. We got caught we were lucky enough to do 12 knots, but that was also during the flooding of the... So that was a little scary as much as fun.
Well, I think we'll break now for a commercial from our Admiral sponsor, Dozier's Regatta Point Yachting Center.
Dozier's Regatta Point Yachting Center lies at the mouth of Broad Creek, near the intersection of the Rappahannock River and Chesapeake Bay, surrounded by the lush green forest of Stingray Point in the community of Deltaville, Virginia, just yards from the open waters of Chesapeake Bay. Dozier's Regatta Point can best be described as classy coastal. The southern-style veranda with its incredible sunset views and white rockers is a favorite gathering place, both at sunset to watch the boats go by and in the morning when a full breakfast is served. If you're looking for an affordable oasis amidst the hustle and bustle, you don't need to look any further than Dozier's Regatta Point. For information, call 804-776-8400. Dozier's Regatta Point is a proud Admiral sponsor of AGLCA.
Okay. Michael, why don't you tell us about what other types and models of cruisers you looked at and what made you decide on the Gemini?
Okay. We're pretty lucky. I've had a lot of experience with a wide variety of boats. I grew up with a 44-foot cruiser. I lived aboard a 44-foot center cockpit sailboat in the Caribbean for a year, and we spent 7 years up in the San Juans, which gave us access to charter sun deck trawlers, deep sea cruisers, monohull sailboats, both power cats and sailing cats, both the large ones and these little copper cruising cats. I think what drew us to the small catamaran was we liked the motion. Based on the wide platform, it seems to reduce a lot of the impact of beam seas and following seas. Kind of helps reduce our intake of ginger snaps while we're making crossings. Probably the one net and the price, I guess. We found these about $100,000 cheaper than comparable boats we were looking at because there's so many of them and they're smaller boats. That was a big one. The fuel economy was a big reason we switched to this. The one negative I can tell you about the hull design on cats is that while they do great on most seas, these smaller cats will pound if you go directly into oncoming or short wave or short chop. I know all sailboats do, all power boats do, and it's rough, but it's a little bit worse on these small cats when you're going directly into them. Okay?
Thank you. I was initially going to ask if you had any problems with marinas as far as staying and booking a slip, but at a 14-foot beam, I mean, you're ideal. That should be no problem at all.
No. In fact, with the draft, a couple of times we were able to get in the slips that they had basically stopped using because they were so shallow. They'd silted in next to the banks.
Uh-huh.
We were put in there a couple of times just because we could fit with our draft that other boats just plain couldn't get into.
Very interesting. You know, as long as we're talking about marinas and locking, with all the locking and docking you do on the loop, is there anything unusual about the way the cat handles?
Yes. Especially this kind. These particular cats use a single engine versus two and an outdrive. Now, the way the outdrive works is it turns with the rudders. So in close quarter handling, it actually moves. It's fairly responsive in slow movements. We were taught to use this quite a bit. The outdrive is an unusual animal because it also comes out of the water. Now, the good news about the outdrive is the fact that a couple of times during the loop, we found it to be a real benefit because if we ever had a crab pot or needed to work on the prop, we simply just raise our outdrive out of the water, cut the line, or replace the prop. We don't have to dive in, call for a tow. The other thing that made docking and locking easy for us, or easier, we were taught to use the centerboards. The centerboards up, there's no flow underneath, so you can really reduce the impact of current. In those days when the wind's blowing, we put a centerboard down, and it reduces the impact of the wind. So by using those as you need them, piloting this thing has really become easy. One other thing we found on the loop that was probably a real benefit for us, because that 14-foot beam is carried all the way to the front of the boat, my wife can be on the very front of the boat and as close to the lock wall to grab a line as I am in the back of the boat because the sides of the cats are flat.
Okay. Just curious, have there been any places that you've been able to go that other loopers can't because of your draft? You mentioned the slips at some of the marinas. Have there been any side trips you've been able to take because of the draft?
Yeah, a couple of them. In fact, one of the places we stopped, it was funny, we were trying to get squeezed into a lagoon along the, you know, what was that? It was down the Lake Michigan in Saugatuck. There was a little 3-foot deep lagoon or 2.5-foot deep lagoon where all the pontoon boats go and a bunch of, you know, some of the runabouts, people walking around in the sand having a drink. we started to pull in there once, you know, these people in the pontoon boats are going crazy and trying to get out. They're trying to wave us off. But we pulled in next to them, dropped our hook, jumped off the boat, walked ashore. And it was kind of funny because I think one old boy had had a couple of drinks under his belt and he looked at me and said, you know, that's the prettiest pontoon boat I ever saw.
So, very funny. I was going to ask, what is the reaction of other loopers that you've told us one person's reaction to your pontoon boat?
Most of them are, you know, surprised when they see the size on the inside, how much room we have. They're a little shocked at the depth we draw. I think most of them just don't think about a sailing cat because, just like you, you think of these great, big, heavy-duty, wide boats. It just doesn't cross your mind. Most people kind of pretty easygoing, kind of interested to see what it's all about.
Well, thank you, Michael. I think to summarize, if you don't mind, I think you've probably covered them, but would you just summarize with the advantages and disadvantages of your cat?
Oh, sure. I think the advantage is obviously the stable, flat ride. We don't spill coffee as we go. The low acquisition cost is pretty good. The operating cost is really low, not even beyond the fuel, just the maintenance of the engine. We laugh because if we had to replace the entire engine, it's probably less than $10,000, which is fairly economical. There's a lot of room in a small boat, so the 34-foot isn't a problem. Shallow is great, makes it versatile. The other thing we find is because there's 1,100 of them out there, there's also a blog. It's really active. Anything that goes wrong, these people tell you how to fix it within about half an hour.
So Gemini is a good vendor. They've been able to support you.
No, the vendor themselves, not necessarily. It's really about the people that own it. It's the sailing community. Like AGLC supports each other, the owners of these boats support each other incredibly well. It's the same kind of family that you get.
Uh-huh.
So you really have a second family when you own one of these boats. We've been a couple of places, and every Gemini owner we've run into ask us if we need a ride anywhere, we need help, anything. So it's a good community.
That's it.
The disadvantages, obviously, the slow cruising speed. It's been frustrating to us. We would like to have gone faster a couple of times. We like flybridges, all in all, and that's one thing we kind of would have liked to have had if we would have bought a powerboat. The other thing on cats, you got to remember, you don't want to overload them. They're really not pack mules. You don't necessarily need to carry a whole lot of fuel and water on the loop, but it is something some people would probably not like. The mast is probably another disadvantage and an advantage. It really is a comparatively short to a lot of monohulls. When it's up, you can go under any place along the intercoastal. When it's down, it carries fairly well, but it is still a mast. You still got to deal with putting it up, putting it down. Truthfully, I think if I did it again and I was just doing the loop, I may leave the mast at home.
Really?
We met a guy that owned a Gemini in Demopolis down on the Trent, or not the Trent, excuse me, down the river system, and he had recently had a heart attack. He simply took his mast off, and they live on it 6 months a year as a liveaboard cruiser. They go up and down the river. I guess without a mast, it really is kind of like that guy in Michigan said, just a really big, fancy pontoon boat.
Well, Michael, thank you. This has been really, really interesting. Michael Delario talking about his Gemini 105MC sailing catamaran. Do you have anything else you'd like to add, Michael?
No, I think that's it. I mean, it's a different animal, I guess, in the way of a boat. You got to think of it differently. It offers a lot of advantages to other boats, but at the same time, some disadvantages. It sort of comes down to what works for you. For us, the big advantage is when we get through with the loop, we've got a sailboat that we're going to go to the Bahamas in, things like that. We enjoy just sailing from time to time as well as we enjoy motoring. So for us, it's kind of a versatile two-purpose boat.
Well, isn't that true with every looper and every boater and every boat? Steve, do you have any questions you'd like to ask Mike?
Nope, Mike covered all the questions I was going to ask him.
Okay, well, then I think we'll close for this week. Michael, again, thank you very much. And everyone out there, safe cruising until next week. Thanks again, Michael. Bye.
Okay, no worries. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, everyone.